you know, the question, why do we want to seek the Lord? You could probably just say, because he told me to, right? It's just a matter of simple obedience. I was even thinking, like, Lord, I want you to use my life. I want to reach people more effectively. I get so heartbroken when you see people come in and then fall away. And as a pastor, you just wonder, Lord, is there anything that I'm doing wrong? How can I do, you know, have more of the power of the Holy Spirit? So, you know, he's commanded you to seek him. I want to do what he said. I want him to use my life. You could also just say you want him to work in you. Like, Lord, change me. Just change me. Not necessarily talking about using me, but just make me more like Jesus. And then the other one that she said was so cool. She just said, I just want to get to know him more. And I thought that was so cool because that when that happens, you guys, when we get to know the Lord more, that will radically transform your life. And I think that it really is the key, right? To get to know the Lord more, you know, you're going to see his holiness. You're going to see his love. You're going to see his power. And just like any other person, like we all have different relationships. And if at the end of the day, if you're honest, you know that you can get to know anyone better by spending time with them, by being genuinely interested in them, by listening to them, by loving them. So anyways, that's what this class is a lot of it is about that. Like, you know, I just think, you know, of you guys, I mean, Ray's here, John's here, Henry's here, you know, Mikey. I mean, here's guys that know the Lord, but they want more, you know, and God wants to meet us there. And so I'm excited. I'm excited because I'm going to be taking the class with you. I'm also going to be keeping myself accountable on my Bible reading. I have, ever since I got saved, for me, it was the Lord just laid it on my heart to read through the whole Bible every year. And when I would read the Bible, and I must have done this 25 years, I would always read it with the Word. There's a book by Warren Wiersbe, it's called With the Word. And it's cool because, you know, he gives you like a little bit of commentary. So you're reading your Bible, you've got maybe about 4 chapters a day, which probably takes you about half an hour, and then you're reading with the Word and you're meditating on it, which would take another half hour. So that's what God did for me for 25 years, and God discipled me, God taught me a lot. And for some of you, maybe that's going to be something that you're going to want to do. But now I feel like the Lord is just saying, no, I just want you. Like, and then 1 year I did it with Chuck Smith. You know how Chuck Smith has a Word for Today Bible? So I read, and then I read his notes for a whole year. So I got that. And then another year I did it with Haley's Bible Handbook. You guys know that one? So that one's a little bit more academic, more archaeology, you know. But now the Lord just says, I've taught you, like for me, this is something that I probably won't be for you, but you got to listen to the Lord, what he wants you to do. But this year the Lord just said, no, you've taught, you've studied. What I want you to do this year is just read, like, for a long time, and just me and you, and that's what I'm doing this year. So all I'm saying is that it's different for everybody. You have to ask the Lord. For a new believer, you might need like a with the Word. You know, I would recommend it, but I'm not going to say that you have to. So when you guys filled out your sheet right here, you guys said, okay, I'm read the Bible in a year or 2 years, or it's cool. Then what we'll do, the guys will sit down with the guys, the girls will sit down with the girls, and we'll talk to you about it, and we'll just say, okay. And then we'll develop a way to keep you accountable. You turn in a report each month. And not that you're doing it for the person, but you're doing it for the Lord, and that person is keeping you accountable. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Some of you, a lot of you here said you want to read the Bible in a year, right? I'm telling you right now, if you start falling behind, you will get buried. So you have to discipline yourself to try to do this every single day with the Lord. You know, not only that, here's what else we're going to do. We're going to sit down with you, okay? Let's just say I'm sitting with Yaya. She has little children. We're gonna figure out what books that she is gonna read this year. 6 books, okay? Maybe, hopefully you're reading more. Some people never read books, but what books are, Christian-based books are teachers that teach you specific truths that are in the Bible. So maybe we'll sit down with her, and if she hasn't read the book yet, Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp, maybe we'll say, okay, well, that would be a good one for you. Or maybe this one over here will want more of a ministry book. I've already read, you know, this one, so, but we're going to, because I've learned this, that a year, it goes by fast, and you have to have a vision. Lord, what do I need to learn? What books might you want me to read? And so we'll set it out, and before you know it, unless the Lord comes, 2019 will be here, and you'll have a little bit more in your arsenal as far as reading. But I just learned over the years as a pastor that unless there's an accountability, a lot of people get lazy. They're watching television, they're you know, doing other things, hobbies, entertainment, and they're not seeking the Lord. They're not really, you know, disciplining themselves. Even I find it difficult to read books. You can ask Shelley, huh, babe? When I first got saved, it was a lot easier for me. I was just plowing through books, but then becoming a pastor and teaching a lot is more difficult. But she told me, she said, you know, you should read books again. You don't read them like you used to. And I'm like, what are you talking about, woman? Yeah. No, but she's right, you know, and you got an hour here. And so now I read a book at home and I read a book here. And I'm just working my way through different books that God has helped me. So even I need help. I need help. But you know what? You guys should be reading books. A lot of people start books and don't finish them. Have you guys ever done that? See? So now hopefully this will be a safeguard for you where you don't. Now here's one other thing. Let's just say you're going through it. You signed up for reading the Bible in a year, but you know it's just too much for you. You have little kids or whatever the case may be. It's okay, we'll modify it. Because sometimes just following the will of the Lord or just trying to discern the will of the Lord, it takes time. You know, you listen and you're like, you tried it and that's just too much. God is not a taskmaster, you know. I mean, I think that eventually you should have read the whole Bible, but it doesn't have to be in a year or two. We'll see. We'll see. We'll push you a little bit. But we won't, you know, shove you. So that's what that is. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about maybe some goals you guys put here as far as, you know, things that you have for 2018. We'll talk about your prayer life. We'll talk about, you know, whatever you guys want to talk about. The people that are going to be meeting with you are people that will love you, that won't judge you. We're here to help you. If you're transparent, the more transparent you are, the more honest you are with what's going on in your life, and you can open up, then the more you're going to grow. Okay? But we have a tendency to hold everything in and hide it from everyone, and therefore, a lot of times, we're not growing the way that we should. Okay? So I'm hoping that you guys all make it through, maybe even some others that God will add along the way. But let's take a look at the class. The requirements, attendance, it normally meets on the first Sunday of each month at 2 o'clock. Probably not in December, so that'll be January through November. If you're absent, your absence must be an excused absence, absent for valid reasons. And so I know that sounds a little, you know, tough, but, you know, you can't just say, you know, I didn't feel like it. Or you can't say, hey, you know, this happened. You got to plan for it. Like, you had how much time to do that, and now you're saying you can't attend this class because you didn't do that when you had a month to do that. You have to make it. You have to be serious about it. You know, if you're absent, you have to listen to the class on CD or online, and then turn in all your applicable homework and paperwork within 2 weeks of the class you missed. And if you're absent 3 times, you will not receive a certificate of completion of the course. And one thing I learned about Bible college is that all it is accountability. You, if you wanted to, you can go read the book by yourself. But when you have a class, then, you know, they make you go to class, they make you read the book, they make you responsible for the information that you've read. And that push, that accountability, a lot of times is all we need. Like if I go work out in the gym, and I'm by myself, you know, I'm going to get a little bit done. But if I have a partner there with me to encourage me, come on, one more, or, you know, help me out, I'm going to get stronger. That's kind of what this is, right? So take the class seriously. And so all the absences, they need to be, you know, valid reasons. And if you're absent three times, you can still come. We still love you a little bit, but you can't get a certificate. And what I want to do next, at the end of this year, and Henry helped me with this, is I want to bring you guys all up in the front. And I'm going to say, look at God's grace.
Don't
scare them. Well, does that scare you? Or maybe I shouldn't have told you. No, but you're going to be trophies of God's grace, and hopefully you'll be stimulants to others to say, you know what? If they did it, I think maybe I can do it. So attendance is a requirement. Bible reading, once we reestablish your goals in Bible reading, you will turn in a report each month on how you did the previous month. And then the Christian book reading. You will be required to read one book every 2 months and turn in a two-page book report on what you would consider to be the highlights or kind of like summary or synopsis of the assigned reading. And so we're going to try our best, and I'm going to need Henry's help, Ray's help. We're going to try our best to get those books in front. Like, we're going to figure out what books that you need. Because last year, it was like, okay, what book should we read? And I was lagging. So this year, we're going to try to do it up front, those books ahead. So maybe, like, young couples will get you a good marriage book and, you know, different things, you know. So anyways, any questions on the requirements? Alrighty.
When will the book reading start?
The book reading will start. What I was going to actually try to... This one, the first one you have, is 30 Days to Understanding the Bible. If you've already read that book, then we'll talk afterwards, and then we'll get you a new book. But it starts now.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, we're probably going to ask you to watch a few DVDs. Because I know you guys. You sit in front of the television now. You might as well make it edifying once in a while, right? Okay, so let's look at Luke 14 and the concept of discipleship. So letter A, you know, one other requirement that I'm going to ask you guys to do is to keep a notebook. So bring a three-ring binder, and we'll punch holes in the notes for you. And what I've done in classes in the past is I've actually checked the notebooks to make sure you have one. Because if not, you're going to lose the notes. Except for Gloria, she probably wouldn't, but she's a real organized man. So here we see the concept of discipleship in Luke 14. Notice in verse 25, it says, "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.'" And so here we see there is a multitudes, you know, gathered. But the Lord, seeing the multitudes, said, you know what? It has to go deeper than just like coming to a crowd, being a congregation, general population. I want you to be a disciple, right? And so what we see here is that there's a cost involved. And we're going to talk about this. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. And what that means is love less. So not that you hate them the way that we think of it nowadays. But when your love for God is compared to your love for others, there's like no comparison. In other words, there's no rival thrones in your life. God's first. And so if you don't have that, Jesus said, then you can't be his disciples. You know, if you look at letter B, it says Jesus called the church to make disciples, and I alluded that today. If you want to turn to Matthew 28. It says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, like, I don't know if I'm splitting hairs here, but I do want to talk to you about this. Are all Christians disciples, would you say? Yeah, like John MacArthur, there's a theology over here that he would say they have to be. If you're not a disciple, you know, then you're not a Christian. You know, they're synonymous. Others would disagree. They would say, like, for example, the thief on the cross, at the end of the day, he wasn't really a disciple, he was a convert. So I'm not here to solve that. All I am saying is that I think there might be, at least in a practical way, a distinction. I remember one time I went street witnessing, and I don't know, maybe I didn't really know a lot. I was a new believer, and I went, they had, what was it called on Friday night, Shelley? Frontlines. So I was a new believer, and I went out street witnessing. So I didn't know much. But, you know, I was out there. And so I'm sharing with people, and I'm sharing with this one guy. And so I'm a new believer, and this is what he said to me. He said, how long have you been a Christian? And I said, I don't know, a couple months, I think. And he said, one day you'll be a disciple. And I didn't know what he meant by that. And to be honest with you, I was kind of offended. Who does this guy think he is? I'm not here street witnessing. And again, I don't know. There's something about being a disciple that has an aspect of a different dynamic about it. That we would define a disciple as a pupil, as a learner, as a committed follower of Jesus Christ. You know, because he saw the crowd. But then he said, I'm going to call you to discipleship. And so for us, understanding that that's our calling as a church to make disciples, therefore that's your calling as the church to be disciples. You got to know that that's what the Lord wants. And so when he's giving the Great Commission, he tells his guys, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. You know, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, doing all that. And then he says, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so, you know, the Lord is the one with us as we're trying our best to make disciples. And we'll talk about, you know, all this, the teaching and the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and baptizing and all that is part of it. So let us see, but what exactly is a disciple? The Greek word translated disciple, methedes, is found 269 times in the New Testament. We're going to have a test on that. Yeah, I'm just joking. And in the New Testament, it's always translated disciple and refers to a learner or pupil. And so disciples are Christians who are students of Jesus, those who have chosen to follow him, to be with him, sitting at his feet, learning all that he has to teach us. Disciples are called to forsake all sin, to make everyone and everything else subservient to Jesus, to be with him, to learn from him, and to follow him. And to follow him means to go where he leads and to be as he is. So keep in mind, we are not cloning people to be like us. Our prayer is that people will be all that God has uniquely designed them to be in Christ. And so that's pretty cool, huh? There's a lot there. Anything stand out from that paragraph to you guys?
Sitting at his feet, taking all sin, making everyone and everything else subservient
Yes.
And that we each have our own personal walk with Him. It's individual between Him and us.
Yeah.
Like everybody.
Yeah, and that's why I cringe on the thought of cloning people into my image and giving you my personal convictions. I just, because then what happens is people learn to follow other people. You have to develop your relationship with God and He'll lead you, you know, and you're going to learn, you won't need any intermediaries. That's why discipleship is so important. You guys are disciples of Jesus. Never forget that. You're not disciples of men. You know, so this is what a disciple is. Letter D tells us that discipleship is intense. Jesus did not water down discipleship in the least, and neither should we. Luke 14:26, again, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Any of you guys struggle with dying to self? Yeah. I know I do. It's hard. It's hard. I wrote a poem the other day, and I hesitate to share it with you.
But you are.
Yeah, it's this is because I fail as a husband so much. It says, "O Lord, I wonder if you sighed when you died for your bride." The reason I ask is because I cannot seem to rise to this task. My so-called love for my love, my love for my love, ails me and fails me, and at the end of the day, I'm afraid at the end of my life, it'll be written of me by you. He sighed and he cried and he tried, but unlike me, he never really died for his bride. And there's more to it, but I'll share that with Shelley later on. You know, but because sometimes, you know, you're going through hard times and you're like, you know, like you feel sorry for yourself. And then I wonder if Jesus did that when he died. You know, like when he was nailed to a cross, was he like, absolutely not, huh? This is our call as disciples. You know, to die to ourselves and to take up our cross and to die for him and to die for others, right? And so, you know, the Lord says, if you don't do that, and I think sometimes we think, well, that's for the super Christians. Let's get a little bit more theologically correct. That is for the disciple. That if you don't take up your cross and deny yourself, Jesus said you can't come to that place of being my disciple. Verse 33 of Luke 14, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And so everything brought into that place of just giving it to God, saying goodbye. And so letter E tells us discipleship is done closely and personally. You know, one of the things you'll discover about Jesus is that he was close to those he discipled. He would pull them aside, take them away from the crowd, and teach them privately. And so this is part of what this class is about. I'm glad that Henry's here, Ray, John, because we're going to be able to have smaller groups with the guys. So, you know, we're going to try to hook up. We're going to connect with Junior and Mike and Leon and Gabby, and then the girls too. We got the sisters here that are going to do that. You see, one of the things you see about it is it's done closely. It's done personally. The Lord saw the crowd, and then he got the guys closer, and then he would sit down sometimes and eat with them. They would ask him questions, and he was able to answer them. We need that. And so, you know, for me as a pastor, you know, one of the things that can be tough is that you get a lot of people who want your time and attention, and you just can't. You can't do it. So thank God you get other guys that help you. But this class allows me to be a little bit more involved in your guys' life, and it works both ways. And so even if I'm not teaching on this class, I'll be here. You know, we'll be here for you guys. And let's see what the Lord does with that. But it has to be a little bit closer. It has to be a little bit more personal. You're going to have to open up. You're going to have to be a little vulnerable. You're going to have to be a little bit transparent, because otherwise you'll never grow. And if you don't come to the class, or if you don't go to church, or if you don't serve when you're supposed to, you know, we'll reach out to you. You see, the Lord does the same with us today. Just as Jesus spent time with his Father alone, if we are to know God's will and have any hope of doing his will, we must cultivate time with him every day. And this is what we're going to encourage you to do. Here's the thing, okay? You might read through your Bible this year and not really get closer to God because you didn't really do it sincerely. You're like, oh, okay, I got to do it. I got to check it off. But if you approach it with that heart of hunger and sincerity, and you give God a little bit of time to work, like you read through it and maybe highlight a few verses. And one of the things that I've noticed in my life is that God is always, he's always been faithful to speak to me and to give me verses, the exact verses that I needed to hear. But by the grace of God, you know, I'm not saying I do it perfect every time, but I have approached it with an understanding of his promise to meet me there. So, you know, like the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, you know? And if you, you can ask my wife, man. My time, I go in the garage, and I spend time with the Lord. And we got to have a place where we spend time with God. And we'll even talk about that. You know, I've offered sometimes that tell guys, you know, ask for guys, hey, we'll set you up, man. We'll get you a place where you can be alone with God. If you need help, we'll, you know, we'll go over and kick the dog out. I mean, we'll do whatever we got to do, man. So, you know, it has to be done personally and closely. And you got to know that God, he wants to speak to you. It has to be done daily. Luke 9:23. Let's turn there real quick. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So how many of you here are morning people? You like your mornings are best. How many are evening people? More evenings. How many are neither? You're afternoon people. You know, the other day, I don't know if I shared this with you guys or not, but Warren Wiersbe, he talked about that passage in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, he said, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And then he talked about how Satan will target your, you know, your mind, he'll target your body, and he'll target your will. And he said, so this is what you have to do. You have to get out of bed. Get out of bed. And I know for some of you guys here, you're like, ah, oh, what? I like to sleep. Right, Ariel? No, I'm joking. I won't say anything. Get out of bed. And what you're doing there is you're giving God your body. He said, get out of bed and reach for your Bible. Because then what you're doing is you're giving God your mind. So you get out of your bed, you get your Bible, and then you go to your knees. And then what you're doing is you're giving God your will. Those are the three targets of the enemy. So if you got to go to sleep a little earlier, like one of the things I've been learning, to be honest with you, if I want to be okay on Sunday mornings, there's two ways to do it. I can either just say, well, I'll go up there and teach on 4 hours sleep. Is that good for the congregation? Probably not. I learned that. I mean, I used to do that because I thought I was making sacrifices. And the Lord showed me, no, it would be more of a sacrifice for you to get to bed earlier. Get your rest. Unless you can't help it, but get to bed earlier, get your rest, and go up there with 6 or 7 hours sleep. Because I mean, even all that is part of giving God your body. But, you know, as you give God your, you roll out of bed, you pull your Bible, you get on your knees, you'll have a different life, right? And something that you have to do every single day. You guys remember the story of the manna in the Old Testament? Many have compared this to the daily manna provided for the children of Israel on their way to the promised land. And in one sense, it's kind of like the daily bread that Jesus spoke of in the model prayer. You guys know what I'm talking about? I mean, the manna, if you didn't get it early in the morning, it would burn off. And then it's kind of like you missed it that day. Have any of you ever done that? Where, like, you know, for me or for you, it's spending time with the Lord in the morning, and then for whatever reason, it didn't happen? Because either A, you woke up late, or B, you started getting on the email, Facebook. I made a rule in my heart. I will not touch email, Facebook, news. I mean, I'm really like legalistic on myself when it comes to that. I won't touch that. I won't text anybody until I spend time with God. And that's my conviction, because He's more important, right? So it's got to be something that happens every single day. And so here's a list of classes that we're going to be going over, and we'll double check on them as far as maybe they'll change. Today, introduction to discipleship, and we'll talk next time about cultivating a prayer life, getting the best out of Bible reading, studies, and books. Genuine fellowship, fasting, overcoming sin, growing through trials, principles and practices for husband, wives, and parents. And we'll probably, I think we had one in here for singles. Oh, yeah, number 10. Stewardship, serving in ministry, and reaching out to the lost, and ministering to and discipling others. And along the way, you guys, okay, here's the thing. If you have any questions about the Christian life, let's talk. Do you have any questions? Okay.
And the previous page on the bottom, it says Psalm 1.
I'm just Oh, you know what? That's just a psalm that just talks about blessed is the man who, you know, who walks not in the counsel of the godly. So I would encourage you guys to be in the Psalms. You know, I mean, that verse, and I didn't read the other one either, Proverbs 8:34. Those are just passages that tell you to do this every day. And I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I should always be honest with you, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know why I say that. For me, like, spending time with the Lord and reading the Bible has, by the grace of God, always been, like, easy for me, a stronger point in my life. Prayer has not been as strong. I've been there. Everybody's different, but I have fought for my prayer life. Just fought. So, God's been helping me. I mean, He's helped me over the years. And, you know, you can ask Shelley too, and a lot of times she'll come in and, you know, I'm just weeping. But reading the Bible at night has also been a struggle for me. Because like I said, I'm more of a morning person, but this is just between us, I know he wants me to. Because a lot of times I'll watch television at night or things like that. So I'm just sharing this with you guys because I don't know if you've had any of those types of struggles. Don't give up. So Psalm 1, it talks about the man who meditates day and night. And if the Lord lays that on your heart, because I've been doing it a little bit more lately, I put the earphones on and I will read my psalm at night. It's a better way to go to sleep. And then let's talk a little bit about our quiet time with God. So again, we're asking you to try this for a month. It is imperative that this time is alone with God. Do your best to have a place and time where there are no interruptions. And so for moms with little ones, this is hard. This is hard. I mean, I don't know if it's possible, to be honest with you. Hopefully dads can help. Somewhere, you know, yeah? You know, but to be alone, like, I don't know. Yes. Yeah, it's much better coming from you, let me tell you. Yeah, a lot of moms, when they have little ones, they backslide. In all reality, it's hard. But if they understand the priority, you know, it's doable, you know. Like I remember when I used to have to work at 3 in the morning, and a lot of guys say, well, no, you can't. I can't because I work too early. I did that for years, just wake up earlier. Let's go to bed earlier. You got to have that time with God. So right here it says alone. And so if you're getting text messages and you're going back and forth in text messages, let me ask you a question. Is that time alone with God? If you're in the living room and the TV's on and the kids are bouncing off the walls, probably not time alone with God, huh? Although some moms are better at stuff like that. I mean, Jesus would get away in the wilderness. You got to have a place. You have to do whatever you can. And so, you know, let it be a time where there are no interruptions. Read the Bible passages signed for that day. Highlight or mark the key passages, because God will be speaking to you, and especially if you expect Him to speak to you. Number two, write down or type out somehow, record the key passages, meditate and pray over those passages. So I have an app, it's called Day One, and that's where I do it. You might not have that app, you might not have as much time, even if it's just like 3 verses that stood out. But just try to figure out, what are the ones that are jumping out at me? What are the ones that God is highlighting for me? And so I have a Bible that I leave in my garage that I've had for years. It has all my notes in it. It has all my promises in it. It has all the dates that God told me things about my family. I mean, you name it, ministry, it's all there. I've read it. The whole Bible's highlighted, circled, underlined. It has a whole bunch of stuff in it. And, you know, try to get one of those Bibles and just start working your way through it. And as I'm reading, I have to get more creative in the way that I mark things. But as I'm reading through, I go back and I look at the ones I marked, and I figure, okay, that one, that one, that one. And then I'll usually just go in my journal and I paste it, and then I write a note to myself. You know, try that. And right here it says, write down, type out, somehow record the key passages, meditate and pray over them. A good handwritten journal might be best, but you also might want to use an app or something like Day One. And then part three is spend more time in prayer. Let your requests be known. Pray for whomever you're responsible for. Pray for yourself, lifting up your requests to God. The following is an excerpt from an online article. Many of us want to impact the world like Martin Luther, but we don't want to see God the way he did, which consisted of hours every day. He said, a quiet time is simply being intentional about having a conversation with God. This usually means listening for God's voice by reading the Bible or devotions and speaking to God through prayer. Jesus did this numerous times in the Gospels, sometimes slipping away all night or in the early morning to spend time with his Father. My favorite description of this kind of conversation came from Martin Luther, whose barber asked, how do you pray? Luther explained, a good barber must have his thoughts, mind, and eyes concentrated upon the razor and the beard and not forget where he is in his stroke and shave. If he keeps talking or thinking of something else, he is likely to cut a man's mouth or nose or even his throat. So anything that is to be done well ought to occupy the whole man. How much more must prayer possess the heart exclusively and completely if it is to be good prayer? For most people, the hardest part of a quiet time, after actually finding the time, is fighting wandering thoughts. So Luther instructed his barber not to pray long prayers. A good prayer needs not to be long or drawn out, but rather it should be frequent and passionate. And so, right here he says, and what should you pray about? Just your personal needs and worries? No. Who likes people who only talk about themselves all the time? Luther suggested a way for quiet times to be a two-way conversation. Pray scripture. Just out of curiosity, for those of you here, prayer is so important. What other suggestions would you give to us when it comes to our prayer life? Yes. So can I just take a survey here? Like when you guys pray your quiet time with God, who here prays out loud? Okay. All right. I pray out loud too. It's harder to pray.
And you'd be surprised if your kids were to hear you pray out loud, they would be blessed. So now Pastor Chuck said he would hear his mom pray.
Yeah.
That would bless his little heart as a child. But he would just peek in on her.
I think he said he heard her pray at night when he fell asleep and in the morning when he woke up. That's probably why he became the man that God used in such a way. Your prayers are powerful. Yeah, Henry.
Another suggestion would be have a prayer list. You not wandering and things like that. You focus on what you want to pray about. I would even say pray before you pray. Like, Lord, help me. Help me at this moment as I enter into prayer.
one mindset on you.
Yeah.
Supernatural for you, supernatural.
Yeah, and I have different ways of prayer lists. I have an app, I have index cards and a notebook. And it's hard, you know, sometimes to just remember everything. But, you know, sometimes it's good to have a list like that. It really is. Yeah. I'll get Ramelda and then Laura.
I always have, because my mind wanders all over the place, I always have to keep on repeating, Jesus, help me now. Jesus, help me now. Because then it draws me back to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he does. And those thoughts kind of wander off.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, if you mean it, Jesus, help me now. I mean, because it is a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Laura.
I just love how the Lord is so personal. He's changed it throughout the years.
Mm.
But when I didn't even know how to pray, I would just read a scripture in the very beginning. And as I was reading my daily reading and whatever, I would just pray back what it said. If I learned something about Jesus, I'd be compassionate. And I'd be like, wow, thank you that you're so compassionate, you know? Because it's conversing back with, I'm learning about him for the first time. And then I say, well, help me be compassionate. Help me. And then the Holy Spirit just kind of, it would just flow. And it was good because I was afraid to pray. I didn't know how to pray. But then I knew how to read, you know, and then when God's speaking to me, then I could just talk back to him. And then through the years, it's just gotten, like, just different, you know, what I still pray. I just think, like, as I'm reading, I don't have a specific list in the morning.
Someone's playing their iPhone.
There it is.
Is that her purse?
There is her purse.
Oh, that's
her mom.
Her
mom left her purse.
It's kind of
abandoned.
See, God answers prayer.
He's all, the class is over.
That's really, really good. Like we're talking about, you're reading, these verses pop out, you write them down, and pray them. Because some people, they don't know, they have a problem, like they're like, I run out of things to pray. I've talked to people like that. And so I just try to be understanding, even though I kind of don't understand. You know, when you have scriptures, you know, you're always going to have things to pray. Another thing that might be helpful for you, I wonder if any of you here have a list of answered prayers. You know, one of the things about the index cards and the app and the notebook is that I have a list of answered prayers. And what is that? It's a faith builder. As you see that God answers prayer, then God's going to flex his muscles and you're going to even want to pray more. So, this is going to be a battle for us. How many of you here would honestly say, if you're honest, that you need a tune-up in your prayer life? Yeah. What would happen if you guys just started like getting victory in your prayer life? What happened, let's just say, if you came to a place where, I don't know, like, you're just praying. No, I know it's not possible for all of you, but you're like half an hour in the morning, half an hour in the afternoon. You're praying like an hour a day. He told Peter, you couldn't even pray an hour a day. An hour. What would happen if that was you? I mean, not just like, but quality prayer. Would you get prideful? Anybody here would get prideful?
Yeah.
Hopefully you would. I'm trying to make a deal with you now that if you can say...
You take them up on stage.
I'm trying to say this to you, that if you can say, Lord, I'll always give you the glory and the honor. I'll never become a Pharisee, Lord. Then maybe he'll grant you that. I don't know. I don't know. I just know not to try to sound like a Pharisee or legalistic or anything, but I just know that we're never going to really have all that God wants to give, and we'll never be and all that God wants us to be if we don't kind of get these things right. Prayer, the word, heart to obey. And one thing that I've been doing at the end of my day, and I know this sounds weird, but I'm just kind of being open up to you guys, is I'll go and I'll examine my life at the end of the day to find out if I had sinned. Was it a better day in my heart than it has been? Or what kind of day was it, Lord, with my family? Was it another one of, you know, the struggle days? I mean, am I changing? You got to take that time to examine yourself, because you don't want to just go to church and serve and read your Bible and pray and not live that life. You understand what I'm saying? This should change us. Things should be different. So that's my prayer. Homework, complete Bible reading report number one, and then write a one-page paper on how you believe your devotional life is going. Describe what the Lord has shown you to do. And so the Bible reading report, all I'm going to ask you to turn in next month is what you read each day. So we could probably print something out for you, but I think it's just easy. Just what you read each day and from now until next time. Okay? You write it down, what you read each day. Yes? Start reading the book. Who here needs the book? Okay, so 1, 2, keep your hands up, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Okay, so we'll order 20 books. I don't know how many online signups we got. We'll find out. Max Anders? I don't have it on here, huh? 30 Days to Understanding the Bible by Max Anders. It is, I think. I'm not 100% sure. But if... in 2 months, yeah. So you guys... Okay, you guys want to talk about grace? Okay, you have 60 days to read 30 Days to Understanding the Bible. That's grace. All right? Max Anders. Okay. So the class, we're going to end now, but if you can stay, if you have to go, that's fine, but if you can stay, we'll talk with you guys, okay? And we'll meet with you. We have Henry here, we have Ray, John, I got to kind of tell them a little bit what we're going to do, and then Shelly and Liz, and Shelly and I will probably help out with the sisters, because you know how it is, there's always more sisters. I'm like, we got to get guys. Yeah, yeah. All right, well, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love and your grace in our life. And Father, I pray that you would take this class and just totally put it in your hands. These beautiful students, people, disciples, Lord. And I'm just begging you, Lord, that it would not be something we're doing to check off a list. It doesn't have to be that way. It really can be intimate, personal, wonderful time with you. And you really can change our life. I pray that you would, Lord, and just ask that you move in a mighty way. And we thank you, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.